Well, hello, this is Gary, and you're listening to Thinking Out Loud. Today's podcast, recorded March 28th, 2023, on Tuesday. The impending indictment of Trump. Imminent any day now. Trump announced to the world that it would be like last week, but or 2 weeks ago, I guess it is not. Lose track of things sometimes with trying to follow the ongoing day-to-day just nonsense of Trump. It's never good stuff, you know. He's never like accomplished anything, you know. The news is always bad. That's going all the way back to when I was a kid, you know. So it's like now he's just like kind of he is the story still, kind of to this day, of all the people. When he was in the news when I was a kid growing up throughout my childhood, whenever he was in the news, it was because he was either bankrupt again, he was getting sued, or he was caught cheating on his wife. That's what would make him newsworthy. So he was a celebrity that was famous for bankrupting companies, cheating on his wives, and appearing at public events. You know, he was a famous person, born into extreme affluence. So he could buy fancy things and live in a fancy house and wear a suit every day and have his hair tightly coiffed and all that kind of thing. It's the kind of thing that wealthy people can do. They can buy fancy things and live a very fancy life. He inherited $400 million. So, yeah, you can buy a lot of stuff with $400 million. One of the easiest, most basic things you should do with $400 million. I'm not sure if Trump and the trust fund that was created for him did this exact thing, but you basically invest in some pretty basic annuities with at least a couple hundred million of that 400 million having earning a solid 3-4% interest, and then just pay yourself a couple hundred thousand a month forever, you know. And that would be like your living allowance. It would never run out, and that's only investing about half of your inheritance. The rest of it you can just kind of play with. So if you use some of the money to make a to invest in a company, create a company, save 2 or 3 million of your own money, and then the company borrows money, and then the value of the company goes up because it's borrowing money, and then a year or two later it loses money all the way to nothing, goes bankrupt. Well, then your initial investment is now a tax deduction. Yeah. And maybe you might even be able to claim a bigger deduction than that because its value might have increased for a bit before it went down to virtually nothing. So you can claim a pretty significant loss and then just maybe avoid paying personal income taxes altogether for many years. All the while you're living a very lavish life, flying in private jets, private helicopters and stuff, and possibly paying nothing in taxes for many years on end. Yeah. System is rigged, all right. It was rigged for Trump and people like him. No, he had zero experience prior to the job. No, he didn't exhibit any qualities really that you want in a leader, but he was wealthy. You know, he was certainly a guy that would cut taxes for the wealthy and big, massive corporations, and that's exactly what he did 6 years ago with the full enthusiastic endorsement of the Republican Party right behind him. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. But now it's like every day there's more stuff. The mountain of evidence against Trump. So it's like the mountain was already pretty big prior to him becoming a game show, even, really, you know. The mountain just kind of got bigger during the game show time. And then his time as a presidency with actual power, it's just, yeah, he's not the type of person that you put in charge of a country. A sociopathic narcissist who runs his organization like a, you know, criminal family. How long does it go on, you know? How long are we only going to be presented two options when one of the options is the organization of Trump? The organization that picked Trump. That guy. Like, how long does this go on? Donald John Trump was a famous con man who then became a game show host. That is not a political statement. That's just a statement of fact. That's what he was known for being. I'm not really sure where this myth of him being a very successful real estate developer comes from. Who, why is that a thing? No, he's bankrupted many of things. And a lot of the properties that have his name on it that are profitable are because he doesn't run them. It's a licensing agreement or something, you know? Or there's other people running it for him. He doesn't really know how to run an entity successfully with a profit. But there's still people going to his rallies and stuff. There's still people that are thinking that he's gonna make their lives better somehow by what? I have no idea. I don't even really know what his campaign is. It's just word salad nonsense and airing out grievances and you know. You gonna be able to go to a doctor when you're sick if Trump's the president? No. No. The roads you drive on gonna get paved quicker, taken care of better. There gonna be extra investment in making sure that the water coming into your home is safe and not in leaded pipes and stuff like that. No, no, no. There's not gonna be investment in energy efficiencies or anything like that. Safety standards will be reduced. Yeah, there'll be more, you know, train wrecks types, train derailments with toxic waste and stuff. Yeah, that happened because there was deregulation. That happened for a reason. Yeah, that's what happens with deregulation. You have natural disasters. But it's a pretty direct cause and effect type of thing. It just sometimes takes a bit of time before the disaster actually happens. But yeah, you have lax safety protocol, then hazardous things happen. And so, yeah, you just would get more of that. It's his fault. It was very much just a pro-business now and purely business in the sense of the owners of the economy type business, the owners of the business world. Make sure that they are doing well. Now, the people that work at all the businesses, doing all the work, are kind of an afterthought in Trumpism. The folks that watch conservative media, they'll be preached to, and they'll be told about how bad everyone else is that aren't abiding by the Trumpism message. All those socialists and leftists that oppose fascism. I'm pro-democracy. That's why Trump is very much against people like me, who refer to me as a socialist or leftist or whatever sort of silly term he could come up with. Because I'm pro-democracy. I'm pro the rights of the people, having the right to vote. I'm pro-individual liberty and small government, which is not what Trump and the Republican Party in its modern form are. They're pro stamping on, stomping on people's rights. Government man has the right to intimidate, coerce, punish a woman because she went to the doctor or needs to go to the doctor. He has the right to kind of meddle in her medical necessities. She needs to go to the doctor, government man has the right to intervene and stop her from going to the doctor. Or if she already went to the doctor and had a procedure done, government man has the right to punish her. Yeah, that's part of the republicanism thing in modern times too. Kind of an offshoot of the Trumpism kind of thing. It's kind of like what happens, A more oppressive, vindictive, and cruel government. That's punishing people just because it can. It just sort of declares that it has the right to now. And that's really what the law is about. It uses different rhetoric to kind of justify itself. But no, it's about punishing women for needing to go to the doctor. And it's selectively enforced. Some women will be able to go to the doctor and get procedures that they need to get done without government man even knowing, or if he does know, he'll leave her alone. But other women will face severe consequences from government man because they needed to go to the doctor. The response from people that support laws that do that kind of thing are going to say that they believe that life begins at conception. It's sort of, Just kind of look up to the sky or kind of stare at the ground or just kind of make a statement that seems like it's responding to the current modern day issue of government agents, punishing women because she went to the doctor. We're kind of people believing that abortion is wrong when abortion is in the Roe versus Wade ruling, and people just saying and speaking their mind and saying stuff. That's what it was for decades. And people were saying stuff, and there was a debate. And meanwhile, life continued. Life went on. Woman goes to the doctor. She has a procedure done. A year later, she announces to the world that she's pregnant. Why did she go to the doctor a year ago? None of our business. Certainly not government man's business. Yeah. But, yeah, people were lulled into thinking something else. And the whole purpose of it, though, really, because there was a lot of candidates that ran on that kind of thing, they're pro-life, so vote for me. And then as soon as they were voted in, they cut taxes for the wealthy and big, massive corporations. Jeff Bezos, his wealth grew by billions. So did Mark Zuckerberg and Warren Buffett. Elon Musk. The billionaires got more billions. Yeah, you voted for that candidate because they were gonna, save babies by voting for a law that says that abortion is now illegal, meaning government agents can selectively enforce which woman will face criminal consequences for going to the doctor. That's the sort of translation of the modern day anti-abortion law. It's an unenforceable law fully, because it would re to be fully enforceable, obviously, what it would mean is that every single woman would require some sort of government agent to be checking in on them. You're suspected of being sexually active, so we got to check and make sure you're not getting pregnant. If you buy a pregnancy test, the government agent needs to check and see what the results were. And if it was positive, they got to be constantly monitoring you to make sure, that's the reality of an abortion law being illegal. Abortion is now illegal. That's the reality of the law. So that obviously can't be. So it's a selectively enforced. Which women should face criminal consequences because they needed to go to the doctor? So that's going to be minority women and poor women. They're the ones that are going to face criminal consequences because they needed to go to the doctor. Yeah. And unfortunately, still to this day, now that we're in that world where real live law is on the books, real live women are being fucked with by government man. Unfortunately, the defense of all that, still to this day, is gonna be, I believe that life begins at conception. Oh boy. So that's kind of where we're at. A very oppressive, vindictive, cruel organization that nominated a famous con man, racist, sexist asshole, who was a game show host at the time, is still one of two options for us. That's what we're presented. Republican Party, the elephants. You got Donald John Trump, Mitch McConnell, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Ron DeSantis, Josh Hawley, Jim Jordan, Gozer, Gomer. There you go. That's the modern day Republican Party. They cut taxes for the wealthy and big, massive corporations. It creates a massive budget deficit. So then you have to cut funding to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public education, and infrastructure. None of those budget changes will have any positive effect on the vast working class. What they will do is the wealthiest will have more money now, a greater level of control and ownership of the economy. And that's exactly what happened over the last 6 years. The owners of the economy increase their ownership stake. What else would have happened? Yeah, the people with the most money by a lot now have more because they had their tax rate lowered. Basic costs are still not being met. Basic expenses, the people doing all the work still got to pay out of pocket to go to a doctor. Still got to pay out of pocket to get a higher education. And then there's the owners of the economy. They get a cut off of all of those intermediary kind of things. There's people that own, health insurance companies. It's a really fairly small group of company. Even though they're publicly traded companies, the average person can obviously, it's going to be pretty tough to get one share, which is basically 0% ownership stake. Going to be need to buy a few thousand at a time. If you're a regular person, you just don't have that kind of money. You have to already have money in order to make more money. And so that's what happened. over the last 6 years. The people who already had money got more money now. They have more money. And they already had exponentially more money than everybody else before. That's it. That's what tax cuts for wealthy and corporations do. It means that those two entities, wealthy people and the corporations that they own, are worth more money now. And now there's less money to cover Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public education, and infrastructure. There's less investment in the people doing all the work. And so that's also the Republican Party. One of two options. The organization that picked Donald John Trump, famous dipshit from the 80s and 90s who became a game show host, had zero experience prior to the job. While in office, he abused his power, had to be impeached twice. Republican Party is the organization that said abuse of power is not a reason to be fired. So what is? You have to commit an actual criminal act that you cannot be charged with because you're the president, therefore can't be convicted, therefore you can't actually lose your job because you can't be convicted of a crime while you're the president. It was a very strange circular argument that they presented, but that was their argument. The president can't be removed from office for abuse of power. Reality being, of course, the Senate can decide for whatever reason to remove a president if they all agree on it. Abuse of power. Yeah, these things were abuse of power. Of course, abuse of power is a reason to lose your post as president. Abuse of power is a reason for anyone to lose their job. And that's what an impeachment hearing is. Does this person get to keep their job as president or not? Being the president is not a right, it's a privilege. And Donald John Trump never respected that. But he was allowed to get away with it by the Republican Party. And now we're several years past him losing his re-election bid. And the Republican Party is still the organization that picked Donald John Trump. That's still very much their kind of thing. They're catering to that crowd. If you're not with that, well, then they're not even going to attempt to talk to you. The Republican Party in its modern form has zero inclination to try to represent my interests. I'm a working class blue collar worker. I work for a living. I want health care as a right and education as a right. Universal basic income. I'm certainly willing to bust my ass and work hard, and I do plenty. This idea that leftists are lazy and stuff is so resoundingly stupid. How often do you work alongside people that are of all kinds of different political walks of life? This idea that all leftists are just into tech or something, or just doing certain tech. It's just, no, we're all kinds of people. The people that are pro-democracy, the people that understand that Donald John Trump was a famous con man who then became a game show host. I'm not alone in that. That was known. It's not a political statement to say that he was a famous con man who then became a game show host. That's just a very Cliff Notes version of the biography of the man. And now, April 1st, 2023, April Fool's Day. It was just a couple days ago that it was official. Donald John Trump is a defendant in a criminal case. People of New York versus one Donald John Trump, defendant. First time in his life he's actually been a defendant, actually truly being held for his actions, being held accountable. He's been skirting the skirting legality, the realms of legality, for quite a while. In some cases, pretty overt criminal associations and stuff, but just kind of able to get away with it. And over the last many years, he's had a very powerful political organization protecting his interests too. Are they still going to after he's been indicted on pretty profound evidence? And there's other cases too. These court cases, these indictments, they are not politically motivated. It's called following the evidence. And if someone has committed a crime, you need to charge them with the crime. That's how it works in the United States of America. It doesn't matter how wealthy and white you are, or even if you happen to be the former president. Closest we've come to this particular scenario is a infamous character from American politics called Spiro Agnew. The only reason I was familiar with him as a kid was because I read a lot of Mad magazines as a kid that were like old Mad magazines from late 70s and early 80s, and that magazine would make fun of a lot of characters like that, Nixon and Agnew. Agnew was the vice president under Nixon, committed tax fraud, then lied and said he didn't, you know, went after prosecutors and stuff, did the Trump MO, but 50 years ago, 60 years ago, whatever, but was eventually resigned because the evidence was overwhelming and he was going to have to be charged with the crime, and basically to kind of to avoid being actually charged with the crime, he just resigned, similar to kind of Nixon resigning to avoid actually being impeached and being removed from office. He's actually told by his peers, like, we will remove you if we have to impeach you. Either resign or we're going to remove you. He was told that by his colleagues. The Republican Party was a little bit different back then. They had corrupt characters, but they also had characters that were conservative and respected the Republic. They're not as abundant now. Small government, fiscal conservative, small government Republicans are in very small number right now. Big government, fiscally irresponsible, pro-corruption, pro-catering to the interest of the wealthy, protecting the interest of the wealthy and powerful. Those types of Republicans are in abundance right now. Yeah. But what do they do with this indictment thing of Trump? Do they still try to pretend that it's political? The political part is that a major political organization picked deliberately and intentionally a famous con man who was bound to face some kind of reckoning at some point, regardless of whether he became the president or not. You know, you skirt what's defined as legal that for that long and just kind of are kind of bending the rules quite a bit. Tax fraud and stuff as a matter of company policy for decades, et cetera, many other things. A lot of it's related to his financial dealings and how he undervalues and overvalues. There's a higher magnifying glass on him after he left the office, but there's a pretty good chance he would have been found guilty of those kind of things eventually anyway. Probably just would have got to it later if he hadn't become the president. Really, the only political part about the indictment of Trump is the fact that, yes, a major political organization did indeed pick that guy. Thus, his ethos, his way of being, becomes political or something. That's their political view now. That's their political viewpoint. Corruption is good. Encouraging violence is good. Catering all the resources of the government to protect the interests of the wealthy and powerful is good. And that's their what they do. So objecting to that means you're stating politics, you know. Donald John Trump is a known nefarious character among our society that for whatever reason many people didn't know and started watching his game show in the early 2000s, and it became a big hit. And then when he started saying really racist stuff, it gained popularity for him. Strangely enough, when he promised the building of a wall and encouraging of violence towards other peoples, it got a lot of people excited. He was a love him or hate him type of person for sure, you know, and so he did not get the majority excited, but the folks he did get excited, he got real excited. And so they went all in on that guy many years ago. They were slowly falling off over the years. But the ones that are still with them, man, they're still with them all the way. And the Republican Party went all in on those folks. So they're at this weird kind of thing where they have to pretend like the Trump indictment is political, even though it's not. They made a political choice in picking a known nefarious character among our society. He did indeed become a game show host. That was a big hit show. But that's not really relevant to becoming the job of president. You know, they took a political calculation. This guy's really popular with certain groups that are definitely within our, you know, market segment. You know, the people that like this guy are also going to, you know, be into Republicanism too, you know. Not going to drag over too many leftists or something, you know. There's not too many Democrats that are real into Trump. He ran as a Democrat many times and he never got too far because, you know, he's a real wealthy guy that's real big on just big business and stuff, you know, and he runs business corruptly. He's not really pro-healthcare's right, education's right. He used to be pro-choice when he was Democrat, and then when he switched to Republican, he became pro-life. That's the slogan he would say. Would he support his mistress getting an abortion if she got pregnant? Well, of course. But he's pro-life, if that's what you need him to say, you know. That's a weird time. I'm hoping this is the winding down. It's how far into the Republican leadership dig in their heels. How many of the masses are they willing to completely alienate in order to embolden the still to this day diehard, balls to the wall, loyal to the bone Trump supporters? Yeah. Knowing what Trump is. So you stick with them, you're saying something. You support that. A very corrupt government that's going to cater to the interests of the wealthy and powerful. Use all the mechanisms of government to protect very particular types of people while completely ignoring the quality of life of the masses. And they're going to lean into it. You know, Jim Jordan is one of those kind of guys. He's leaning in heavy to being that very particular type of politician. The extremely corrupt politician that gives two shits about the common guy. But man, he's gonna come hell or high water, he's gonna do everything he can to make sure that Donald John Trump does not pay any kind of restitution for the crimes that he's committed. That's his goal. That's what he views his power that he's been given by the people. That's what he's views his purpose as. Not to create laws that are going to benefit people. Not to create health care as a right. Not to pursue it. No. Nope. To try to find some way, to find some smoke and gun that will just completely vindicate Donald John Trump. Famous con man guy that for whatever reason the Republican Party picked to be the president in 2016. Even though the two other finalists weren't that great either, they certainly either one of them were better than Trump. If your three finalists are Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Donald John Trump in 2016, the first one you eliminate from contention is obviously Donald John Trump. He's the least qualified of the three. Yes, none of the three are really that great, so it's a process of elimination if those are your three finalists. The least qualified for the job is the one you eliminate first. So it's a battle of the other two, Rubio or Cruz. The reason Trump won, of course, is because none of the other candidates were willing to say that they were against him. They basically, the field said, we would still vote for Trump if he got the nomination, even though he's not a Republican and has no values and has no legislative agenda, aside from protecting kind of his own real interests. He's just a celebrity. He's just kind of a cartoonist personality that's been famous for a while. They all said, none of that really matters. We'd still vote for him. Thus sacrificing any of their own legitimacy to have the post. You know, they're all kind of similar in how they carry themselves and stuff. They're all politicians of a certain level, you know, so if they're all in unison saying, well, yeah, he's still, we'd still vote for him. You know, well, then we'll then vote for him then, because he's the one that's different, obviously. So they kind of all in unison, the Republican field, said, yep, everybody that's voting Republican, go ahead and vote for Trump. That's kind of what they were all saying throughout the thing. Come on, guys, clap, says Jeb Bush. You know, he just thought it was his turn. You know, his brother and his dad were president, so now it's his turn. And so and that's kind of how he ran his campaign. It's my turn now. I'm obviously going to beat Trump. And he didn't even make it to the final three. It's a shame. I mean, no, he wouldn't have been a great president, but shit, yes, he of course would have been better than Trump. Good God. And any of the other finalists, none of them were that great, but that's just not how it went. So now it's indictment time. Now it's this, okay. Yeah, it's finally, the rubber's finally meeting the road for decades, really. You know, this is a long time coming, regardless of whether Trump became the president or not. This is an added weird wrinkle to the weird Trump story. He actually became the president, and then it lingered on for a while. He was actually able to serve a full term, even though we have a way of removing someone that's not qualified, ill-suited, abuses their power, and it's acknowledged on the record. Yeah, we have a way to remove them, but the people that we elect to serve in government, they have to like abide by those principles. They have to be willing to say, yep, what that person did was wrong, they're fired. And ironically enough, that was Donald John Trump's famous catchphrase, you're fired. He should have been the first president to be fired from his job. We've never fired a president before. We told the president that he was going to be fired, and so he resigned instead to avoid the embarrassment of being fired. And then similar with Spiro Agnew, he resigned before facing true real criminal charges. But now Trump, former president, is facing indictment. An indictment that would have come much sooner if he hadn't have been a former president and he hadn't been so wealthy. If you're a normal person, you commit tax fraud, yep, they're going to come after you. For sure. Yeah, you're not going to be able to delay for months and years on end and campaign to be president, no less, or something, or, you know, live a fancy life while you've committed tax fraud or whatever other white collar and other kinds of, I forget what the New York specific one, there's so many, they get them all kind of mixed up. It's just kind of crazy. He is now still a political ideology or whatever to this day of one of the two options we're presented in mainstream media. Republican Party, Trumpism. Still, you know, they're the political opportunists within the organization, the higher level leadership are trying to find some way to still have the Trump supporters with them while trying to find a way to separate from Trump. So it's a weird rhetoric game. No legislative agenda, of course, except, yeah, if they can cut taxes for the wealthy again, they will. If they can cut funding to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, public education, and infrastructure, those are going to definitely be on the list. Beyond that, though, no, it's just going to be a lot of rhetoric. Just finding the perfect words to say each day in interviews so that the people that watch Fox News every day are still into them. But it's like somewhat, sort of, kind of critical of Trump, but not too much. It's a very tricky little game of mental gymnastics that you would have to be willing to play if you want to be a high-level Republican operative in the modern era. Those that were unwilling to play those kind of games were excommunicated. Adam Kinzinger. He's no longer a high-ranking member of the organization because he had a spine. Yeah. He has certain political views. That's why he's Republican. Small government, individual liberty, fiscal conservatism, that kind of stuff. It's kind of your classic Republican. So I probably don't agree with much of his political views, but he has actual convictions. So there is right and wrong, and was willing to say, this is wrong. What is happening here? And his colleagues said, well, then we're going to excommunicate you from the organization then. And that's what they did. Yeah, they primaried, and same with Liz Cheney. Those that were unwilling to be fully supportive of one Donald John Trump were excommunicated. Yeah, they lost their posts within certain committees and stuff, or they were primaried. The organization found other more worthy candidates to replace them with that were more pro-Trump. And the organization did that for many years. It's important to understand the Republican Party is an organization. It's not an ideology, but it pretends to be. It uses certain rhetoric. Small government, fiscal conservatism, Christian values. I'm pro all those things. Hence the necessity to speak out against the modern-day Republican Party, because they are none of those things in their current form. Those are old slogans that they've been using for years that get people excited, because those are wonderful ideas. A small government that's focused on individual liberty and is fiscally conservatism. Yes, please. Absolutely. I would love that. But the Republican Party is not that in its current form. Those are ideas that it says it's about, but then in legislative reality, it is not those things. It's a big meddling government, meddling in very personal affairs that are none of government man's business. You have your opinions on other people, you have your opinions. Government man doesn't need to be meddling in people's lives. That's called a big government. Woman goes to the doctor, government man is now intervening and asking why she's going to the doctor and trying to prevent her from going to the doctor, threatening her with criminal charges and such. No, that's not a small government. Sorry, that's a very big meddling government. That's government man harassing woman because he has the power to do so. He's declared that he has the right to do it. So he's just going to go do that now. Certain women, he's going to harass, intimidate, and threaten with criminal charges because they need to go to the doctor. Other people are saying stuff. So now government man is going to pick which woman he wants to harass and intimidate. That's not small government. That's not individual liberty. But that is the type of laws that the Republican Party has put on the books in many a state here in the United States of America. It's very unfortunate. Republican Party is also the, its modern form, the one that doesn't like everybody being able to vote easily, not having everyone's vote count. They don't really like that. They're very pro-electoral college, of course, as well. So they're very big on limiting access to vote, making it as difficult as possible to vote, and continuing to elect the president through this archaic idea of electoral college. Tally up the votes in each state, declare a winner in each state. Based off of who the winner is, a certain particular group of voters will get to vote in each state 30 days after the election. It's really dumb, really stupid. The Electoral College exists because the United States of America had to appease the southern slave states way back in the day when slavery was legal. You know, there's humans living in this country that some people in government didn't consider some of the humans living in this country to be human. They can count them as 3/5 of a human. Yeah, and considered them to be property. We still have remnants from that. That's how we decide who the president is. A law that was created to appease people that abided by the slavery system. Yikes. It's 2023. You know? Like, good God. It's still on the books. That's still technically. That's the way we do it. You know? Most of the time, the person that wins the election also wins the Electoral College, so we don't really care. But it's the second time in my lifetime that a person who wins the election loses the Electoral College. In the first election I ever voted, back in 2000, George W. lost the election by about 500,000. Such a relatively small margin of victory there that for Gore, that, you know, Florida. Several times Florida recounted, the state I was born in. But they couldn't get the same result each time, so finally the Supreme Court just came in and said, Bush is the winner of Florida, meaning he wins the Electoral College. Now, he lost the election by 500,000. That was already known, and even with the varying results of Florida, he never came close in the popular vote win. That was one, and then 8 years of George W. Shortly after his term starts, a war starts. His vice president is a guy that worked for Halliburton for a while. Electoral College elects this guy. Decent guy and all. Has a good heart. He surrounds himself with certain characters, and it kind of wonder how history goes if, even if 9/11 still happens, is our response still exactly the same? Some never-ending war that just shifts to a different country for a bit? There's something off about the Electoral College. It was revealed in 2000, but because it was like only quote unquote 500,000, we kind of stomached it. But then it happened again in 2016, but it was way worse. And then the guy that they elected was a famous dipshit. Like, it's kind of this elephant in the room thing. That guy can't be the president, though. It's Donald John Trump. Yeah, he had a cameo in Home Alone 2, and frequent guest of the Howard Stern show and stuff. That's neat. He's quite wealthy. I get it. Yeah, he's got his name on tall buildings and stuff. He wears a suit every day. All that's real neat. He's quite famous. Like, what the? He didn't even win the election. He lost by 5 million. Like, I get it. It's the Republicans' turn, though. It's their turn to win. We only have two options. The Democrats were in charge for 2 terms, so that means it's the Republicans' turn. But they picked Donald Trump. He's a famous dipshit, con man guy, saying racist stuff. Right now, he's a game show host. Like, he can't be the president. We're not gonna actually go through this. And then there was this weird thing. Election night, results are tallied. Hillary Clinton wins by about 5 million. But election night, they're already counting. Well, and then within a few nights, it's like, well, it looks like Trump is gonna be president-elect. If you tell, during that time, something could have been done. Something needed to be done. The Republican Party made a mistake. They pushed it too far with this bipartisan bullshit thing. They elect a completely illegitimate, clearly and obviously candidate, but just the stubbornness and the competitiveness and the, well, we just got to beat the other side thing, and not even worrying about, like, what about the country? Is that even a thought? He's a sociopathic narcissist guy. Like, oh my. But they just let it go on for 4 years. And it's just. How long does it go on? I'm hoping this indictment of Trump and just. The people that are prosecuting his case very much know what they're up against. A cult leader. Who very much did inspire some of his most ardent supporters to commit violence on his behalf, and many of them are facing and have indeed started to face criminal charges and consequences for their actions, as they should. They attempted to violently overthrow the government because some guy told them to. Some guy who was a famous dipshit back in the 80s and 90s. He was a famous celebrity that somehow became the president. Somehow. Our country just kind of fell asleep at the wheel, really. Just kind of just said, fuck it. Who cares, I guess, or something. And then now we're in the aftermath of it. We got to clean up the mess somehow. That was years and years and years of us just very much asleep at the wheel, not focused on the most basic stuff. Trump just a vacuum of resources. Just a complete drain on morale on government and just financial resources too. Time, energy, just ugh. We gotta drop the dead weight at some point, and we also gotta demand better for an organization that's saying small government, fiscal conservatism, individual liberty, all that kind of stuff, and then also like. We're the law and order organization. It's like, we do need those, but they aren't representing those things. I'm pro individual liberty, so don't tread on me. Let me live my life. There's certain plants that I consume that I find benefit in, and millions of other people do too. Just let us be. There are plants that exist on planet Earth that have certain benefits. Pharmaceutical company that gave you a bunch of money, politician. To say otherwise, well, that's kind of why cannabis is illegal, many other plants, because pharmaceutical companies give money to politicians to say these are bad, It's a gateway drug. Republican Party is still the organization that has many politicians that say that kind of rhetoric. It's a euphemism for, yes, it's okay to incarcerate human beings for growing, selling, or ingesting, or being in possession of a plant that made them feel better. It's okay to incarcerate them for long stretches of time because gateway drug. That's still a thing in many parts of this country. There's still laws condoning that sort of thing. A big, very much oppressive, suppressive, big meddling government suppressing an individual liberty, very much specifically focused on certain types of peoples. And it's a, during the Trump era, man, the net of peoples that didn't fit into the Trump ethos is many, most, and eventually every. You know, anyone who isn't Trump specifically eventually gets cast out at some point. You know, he only cares of himself. It's, I don't know. I'm hoping for better. There's many good people in this country. But for whatever reason, there's many in this country that just, they went with the worst guy. The one that was the worst among us. And it kind of always had been. He was kind of a champion of a certain type of ethos that was kind of the opposite of what many of us are raised on when we're children. You know, being honest, having integrity, working hard, treating others with respect, empathy, doing to others as you'd have them doing to you. He was the opposite of all that. You know, that's, you know, being frugal. Nothing you taught his kid, like he wasn't that either. He was none of those things. He was really the opposite of everything you teach your children to be. And yet, he was aired nonstop, all hours of the day, for years on end. He was allowed to become the president. There was no, like, censoring of him that you would any other show. It has a certain rating. It has to be aired at a certain time or something, you know. But he was able to just be considered G-rated. Is he G-rated? It's like, this podcast I'm recording right now isn't G-rated because I curse at times. He wasn't G-rated because he would say racist things. He would make fun of handicapped people and stuff. And there is free speech, whatever. But, you know, it was his... Were his speeches really, like, appropriate for children to be hearing? Like, at the dinner table and stuff? But then, you know, their parents were watching it sometimes. And you hear children kind of regurgitating the Trump stuff. You have to learn the Trump kind of ethos. You have to embrace it somehow. For me, it's been always been more natural to just be kind of confused as to why people dig it so much. Why do people like Trump so much? It's been, I would say, going on nearly 40 years that I've been asking myself that question. Long, long time. I was a boy in single-digit numbers, years in this planet, when I became aware of Trump and confused as to why he was a thing. Why are we hearing about him, you know? Because he's wealthy and powerful and wants to be famous. And so he gets to be. He was born wealthy and he wants more attention. And so we gave it to him for decades. And with the more attention came more money and more power that he used for himself. So, hopefully this new chapter of the ongoing, many decades now into the Trump weird show, only in America type thing. Hopefully this new chapter is more of getting into the coda of the Trump story, which will be kind of an inverse relationship to a more upward mobility of the United States of America. You know, some releasing of some dead weight. Opening up some opportunities for, yep, marginal wealth and estate taxes and kind of the necessity of them. Concentrated wealth is not good. Hopefully, those folks are with massive, massive amounts of wealth are decent people. Warren Buffett seems like a decent enough guy. Yeah. But what if they're not? You know, It's a different type of power, virtually limitless wealth. Once you get over a certain level of hundreds of millions, you have virtually limitless wealth. You could spend it. You have invested in some very basic things. You're earning enough interest. You can spend pretty freely hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on things that are purely liquid that, you don't retain any value in, purely like just spending food and travel and all that kind of stuff. And you still never run out of money. I mean, that's a certain type of wealth, you know. Taxing those people a little higher rate doesn't mean socialism. It just means maybe reining in their power a bit. They still have substantial, but we gotta fix something here. You know, a famous dipshit, but because born into affluence was famous, was allowed to become the president, even though he was obviously ill-suited. And then during his time, abused his power many a time, didn't have any inclination to respect the responsibilities of the office, attempted to overthrow the government through violence, and now is finally being indicted for a charge. The first one is up, and there's more coming on the way. What comes from this whole Trump era? You know, what sort of growth comes from all this ash, you know? Does the Republican Party rebrand over the next many years? You know? Like, I'd love to be a member of an organization that was small government, individual liberty, Christian values based, but not so much specifically Christian necessarily, because I'm not really into government and religion intertwining too much. I don't really think people need to be a specific religion in order to serve in politics. But so more in a broader sense, empathy, humane, you know, curing the sick, feeding the hungry type thing, you know, that kind of basic stuff. And those kind of messages are in all of the religions, really, in some form or another, you know. So, yeah, I would vote for that. I would be a member of an organization that was those kind of things. Hence the necessity, again, to be against the modern day Republican Party, because they are not those. They say those things in rhetoric, because those are wonderful things. Small government, fiscally conservative, you know, individual liberty, you know, based on Christian values. It's an empathetic, humane government. Yeah, all those are great, but none of those ideas are what the Republican Party is today. You know, Donald John Trump era, yeah. That negates all of those sort of wonderful philosophical ideas that they profess to have. They don't have any of those. Trump era is, you know, that's the kind of two-word statement kind of thing. That kind of, well, nope. No, they're not that. Abortion laws, restricting voting rights, you know, that's not small government. A small government should be focused on the basics, making sure the electric grid is well maintained. You know, the public works is good. Food quality is good. People have food to eat. Make sure there's appropriate housing and affordable housing for the people doing all the work. There's certain people that own stuff. So, yeah, if there needs to be fringe taxes on the people that own everything so that there's enough resources for the public to be able to access, you know, affordable food, affordable places to live, especially people that are working full time. There should never be a case where people working on any level, really, especially for a for-profit entity, and not have a place to live or enough food to eat and stuff like that. That's just kind of absurd in an economy of our size. An easy remedy for that, of course, is the freedom dividend. It's also referred to as universal basic income. Freedom dividend was Andrew Yang's term he coined. He had a lot of bright ideas. Some states do it. The state of Alaska has a dividend. If you're a resident of Alaska, you get part of the dividend, the oil revenue every year. It's a certain, you know, and it kind of offsets the cost of living in Alaska. It's far away. It's tough to, you know, get stuff shipped imported there because it's the middle of nowhere. So, you know, kind of offsets the cost of living a little bit. Same would be true of a freedom dividend. There's certain costs of living in the United States of America. Healthcare is not a right still. And even if it becomes one, we could still afford to have a universal basic income. We'll still be able to afford to have plenty of wealthy people. They do have an organization that protects their interests adamantly, convinced a bunch of regular folk to vote for them back in 2016 with the promises of building a wall. But the first thing on their agenda was cutting taxes for the wealthiest. The wealthiest, and the wealthiest by a lot. They paid less in taxes, and so their estate values were able to grow by a lot over the last several years. Billionaires are worth even more billions now. That was the result of the Republican Party's tax cuts in 2017. That's it. The wealthiest have more money, more power, more control of the economy, more ability to dictate the flow of our lives. Yeah, that's the kind of power they have. Yeah, they dictate the cost of stuff, but then also can kind of dictate what wages are too. Dictate kind of competition among jobs and stuff, which jobs are available. Tend to be kind of centered in the corporate sphere in this country. If you don't go corporate, good luck trying to find a good small business with your particular skill set. There's not a bunch out there. They seem to be squeezed out of just about every small to mid-market town out there. Once the Walmart and a few other corporate behemoths come to town, it's tough to compete on their level. One or two aisles in one of their stores can drive out any sort of a specialty shop. Even if the specialty shop is better and would have a wider range of selections of its specific types of products, they can't afford to share that much of the market with a big behemoth like Walmart. If you don't have a little nice arts and crafts store, a nice locally owned gardening store, and a locally owned auto parts store, all the locally owned sections of Walmart are all different stores that could exist. Instead, it's one Walmart where the vast majority of the revenues go to the Walmart headquarters. It's primarily owned by the Walton family, wealthy billionaires who are the descendants of the guy who created the company. The purpose of the Walmart company is to increase shareholder value, not to make regular folks' lives easier. It can give two fucks about that other part. Its purpose is to increase shareholder value, and the main shareholders is a small group of people who are the direct descendants of the guy who created the company. He's long dead, but his company's massive now. And pays its owners quite well. No, it's not a great job. No, it's not a wonderful store. No, we could certainly have better, unique stores in every town that is several stores, several different places that has the different things that Walmart sells. But, with the kind of pure capitalist policies that Republican Party has pursued over many years, corporate tax breaks, wealthy people tax breaks, reducing of capital gains, it's allowed that. It's allowed a greater control of big, massive, behemoth, overcapitalized institutions to just get bigger. And to the point where if you want to have a job, well, that's where you got to work for the big behemoth in some form or another. Republican Party is more of that. Cut taxes for those at the tippy, tippy, tippy top. Less revenue now to cover the expenses of the production class, the 98% doing all the work. It's less money now to cover our expenses. We get sick. We want to get more schooling and training to increase our productivity levels. And other things too, just for our own good quality of life. But we've got to be able to get around safely and stuff too. But when there's divestment and all those kinds of things, divestment in public health care, divestment in public education, divestment in infrastructure investment, well, then it affects quality of life too. Puts extra strain and stress on the working class. And this goes on for generations. I think the Trump era was kind of the culmination of many generations of Republican policies and Republican rhetoric. Saying a whole lot of kind of stuff to divide the people, convince them of all kinds of stuff. You can't go to a doctor if you're sick. That's insane. That would be socialism. There's no way we could have businesses if hospitals existed. How could that possibly be? Even though there are other industrialized nations that do it just fine, they have pro sports teams and the whole like, They have abundant capitalism, but they also have public health care. It's just something that you decide to fund and then you start doing it. That's just how you do it. It's not really. I mean, the dumbing down from the Trump era does dumb it down. How do you have public health care? By doing it, by deciding that it's a right. That's how you do it. What are we talking about here? Yeah, the wealthiest might have to pay a higher percentage in taxes. Okay. And some of them might complain about it. Okay. Some of them might even pay off politicians and buy ads on, different TV stations and stuff. Websites and do all kinds of things to protest this idea. They'll say all kinds of stuff about their tax rate going up, the wealthiest. Some of them are very upset about it, right? But what we'll do is generate enough money to cover the costs of hospitals and highly trained medical staff so that when human beings get sick in the United States of America, they can go and get healed. And then go on with their lives. Yeah. It's important to understand that the Republican Party is very adamantly against that idea entirely. No. Human beings should not be able to get cured when they need to, says the Republican Party. And they're very emphatic about it. They've been fighting it for generations now. It should not be a right. It will affect the profit margins of health insurance companies. Therefore, healthcare cannot be a right, says the Republican Party. Same with education. With extra revenues raised from proper taxation of big, massively overcapitalized institutions and people, you generate enough funds to fund the foundational type stuff, including schools. Human beings in this country, many cases, want to continue their education after 12th grade. They want to keep going. Your socioeconomic class shouldn't really matter. If you want to continue your education, then keep going. If it needs to be a community college for a couple of years and then transfer to a four-year, okay, that's what I did. Why not? What are the objections exactly? Let's make sure that the human beings who want to get educated in this country can get educated. The Republican Party says no, we should not do that. There are these financial institutions that lend money to poor people to go to school with the promise that after you graduate, you'll get a good job and stuff. It's a lucrative business. What will happen to that business if we just have education as a right? That business goes away, with that particular product anyway. There'll still be financial institutions, but that particular product won't be as in demand. So that's very concerning to the Republican Party. You can't have education as a right because there wouldn't be as many people borrowing money to go to college anymore. Uh-oh. What about the people that own those institutions that have given a bunch of money to the Republican Party? And in some cases, the Democrats too. There's some Democrats that'd be against that kind of thing, but it's predominantly Republicans. Very against education as a right. Need to make it as difficult as possible to get further education, a higher education, a degree. Don't make it easy for the common folk to get that kind of thing. Makes them easier to become enlightened. And then what are you going to do? If you got a bunch of highly intelligent, working their butt off kind of folk, What's going to happen? I don't know. Do we continue to go down the Trumpism road? Not sure. People are able to get regular checkups and stuff when they need to, and they're feeling healthy and educated and living their best lives. Are they going to embrace Trumpism? No, you got to be kind of fearful and agitated in order to embrace Trumpism. That's kind of the only way. You have to be able to stay in that kind of state. You have to embrace that kind of state, a fearful, agitated, stressed out state at all times. And the Republican Party fanned it for too many years now. And it's time to throw some water on it. It needs to cool off for a while, a long while, this Trumpism thing. It may spurt up a replicant of some kind in a future generation. There's always these types that exist. Trump was someone who idolized Vladimir Putin, Hitler, Duarte, Kim Jong-un. He idolized dictators, and that's what he aspired to be. There are people like that in this world that aspire to be that. That's what they want to be. Just all absolute power for the sake of power. Something right out of a comic book villain Trump was throughout the whole time. It's amazing he got this far. Can't believe he was actually able to pull off the one last great con. Hats off to him, I guess. He was the world's most famous con man. In 2016, he convinced just enough folks in the United States of America to become the President of the United States. They actually used their vote to vote for him in a real live election and everything. Not some kind of call-in phone ballot type thing for a, I don't know, some contest on a game show or something. No, it was a legit, people went to the booths. There's a bunch of names on the ballot, a whole bunch of names. The only two names they heard the whole time were Clinton and Trump, but there was a whole bunch of names on the ballot. But there was tens of millions of folks that the one choice they were allowed to have, that's who they used it for, was that guy. That actually happened. He actually did it. He actually pulled it off. The whole time it's happening, it's just like that. The rug's gonna be pulled off from any minute now, because it kind of happened before. You would always at something kind of get deflated just before you got too big, but it didn't happen that time. He actually got in. There was even that kind of 30-day lull there where he finishes in second place, and it's still 30 days before this stupid technicality that we're gonna just go through the motions of. Yep, he just lost. Thankfully, but no, we got to make him the president anyway, because in 30 days, the Electoral College voters are going to come together. There's this 30 days there where it's like, we could do something, but no, yeah, no, the Republicans were in the control at the time or something. So it was like, oy, that was just so frustrating. It's like, nothing you can do. No, Republican Party's the other one, and that's who they picked. It was their turn. Yeah, he lost, but no, it's Electoral College. It doesn't matter what the margin of victory is in the popular vote. It could be 10 million. A candidate could win the election by 10 million. But if those red states don't go for him, and there's enough red states, even though there's folks voting blue in those red states, if, the red states all stay red, even if it's even as low as 52, 53%, and then, that candidate that loses the red states dominates the blue states, so gets a nice, easy runaway victory in the general election. But nope, not enough to pull away with the Electoral College victory. The voters are positioned and living in such a way, where the kind of real into Fox News crowd in certain areas of the country just gets kind of drowned out. They're part of the, constituency for sure. There's plenty of folks that are real super duper pro Trump here in the blue state of Washington that adore the man. Still wear his hats to this day, although I haven't seen him in a little while. But there's definitely the Go Brandon, the MAGA 2024, the whole bit right here in the blue state of Washington. There are still plenty of MAGA. Ton of them, to this day. It's not a purely blue state. So that's what's going to end up happening, though, if we stick with this Electoral College thing. Is certain areas in highly dense, more densely populated areas, stuff, more industrialized commercial economies and stuff, quote unquote blue, that aren't purely blue. And there's still plenty of folks that are red, but there's just states where the Fox News watching crowd is, just gets kind of drowned out by a massive, diverse, different types of people that are just aren't watching Fox News every day. You know, so it's just, it's all kinds of folks. But in areas where it really dominates the scene, all they need is a majority. You know, that's all the Republican Party needs, a majority of the folks in a certain number of states to go with them. And they could pull out the Electoral College. Again, margin of victory doesn't matter. That's, I suppose, another big hope is that we can finally get rid of the Electoral College over these next few years. Biden won the Electoral College and the general election, so maybe that'll help. But I don't know. We're definitely at a crossroads now. The indictment of Trump has happened. No one is above the law, and our country has to prove that now. You know, whether or not he's actually found guilty, that's a whole other matter. You know, how they do a trial like this with, there's going to be people that are going to try to disrupt it and stuff, and certain high-ranking Republican officials have already made it their duty to do anything they can with their power to protect Trump. Even though, again, this is a perfect time to just cut him loose. You know, they are an organization that's going to go on, you would think they would be thinking, after Trump is gone, a man who's very old now and not in good, the best of health. You know, like, are they planning on the organization existing after he dies? How long are they planning on him being around and being the center of attention? We are mortal beings, no? It's like, I'm not really sure what their long game is. But we'll see, I guess. Hopefully some new options present themselves beyond just the two. Democrats are, you know, the lesser of the two evils. They got some good ones here and there. It's a mix of folks. But generally, they're an organization more focused on the interest of people. You know, regular people. It's just people. Democracy. What are interests of the people? People should be able to go to a doctor when they're sick. People should be able to get educated when they need to get educated. People should feel safe. People should be able to get a home, especially if they're working full time and stuff. You know, people should have a place to live, food to eat. More kind of nuts and bolts kind of stuff. You know, oddly enough, kind of, in my mind, kind of small government. Really, just kind of the basics. I don't really view the hospitals and schools as being real grandiose. I mean, those things already exist in the United States of America. You know, they've existed for generations. I went to a public school, public university, but graduated with debt. You know, even though while I was going there, most of the funds that I received were just paid directly to the school. You know, so I got just what was called a refund. Mostly that just went to books. So it's not really, then even a refund. It's just, there's some that was left to cover living expenses, but most of it was just money that was just paid directly to the school because I was going there. So, really doesn't have to be reinventing the wheel with these sort of quote-unquote progressive ideas, you know. And then the other stuff, quote-unquote socialists, all that is just small government. So you think things about other people, okay. Government man doesn't need to be forcing certain ideas on things, you know. You feel uncomfortable going to a public restroom. Well, you don't have to use a public restroom if you feel uncomfortable using a public restroom. You know, go potty before you leave the home. You know, you're not legally mandated to use a public restroom. I never really got the whole, well, government man needs to get involved with some people feeling uncomfortable about using a public restroom. You know, it became a whole thing for a while. Some people feel really uncomfortable going potty in a public restroom. And they're worried about who else might be in the bathroom. Even though they should have their own stall and everything, with the door and everything, they're worried about who might be in the other stall. And they want government man to help them out with that. It's like, what the fuck? You know, there's public restrooms all over the United States of America if you need to go potty. And you're out on the go and you don't want to go all the way home first. But if you're uncomfortable doing that, okay. Government man ain't gonna make any laws about it though. Yeah. Most bathrooms they'll have, male or female in some form. Yeah. So, whichever one you feel most comfortable with going into. Yeah. And I don't know, the fucking weird like theoretical things that people would present to try to justify some sort of laws being created and stuff. It's just what the fuck? I've been to public restrooms many a time in my life and never really encountered any of the things some of these people are so worried about. Now, there was one time I went into a public restroom and there was a girl sitting on the sink. Her legs kind of draped over the sink. That was an interesting. She kind of turned on the water faucet for me. That was a certain kind of party that I was at. That's a whole nother time. Even though it was the men's bathroom, for some reason, an attractive young lady sitting on the sink, turning on the faucet. Well, thank you. Anywho, it's a big wide world out there. Kind of crazy place sometimes. Lots of adventurous things to get into sometimes, but lots of worry in the modern era with so many suppressive and repressive efforts out there to just kind of dominate and constrict and control all kinds of people, and cast out just about everybody, in some form or another. Hopefully that kind of ethos starts dissipating more quickly. This ethos of Trumpism, fascism, suppression, greed, corruption, violence towards your neighbor. That's what Trumpism was. And you leaned into it heavy. And you got full sponsorship by the Republican Party. And they just haven't figured out a way how to stop sponsoring it. Because it would affect their political careers. As soon as they speak out against it, the only people that are willing to vote for them would stop voting for them. They're not going to get moderate voters. By definition, the Republican leadership isn't moderate. If you're considering them as an option, then you're not moderate. You can call yourself whatever you want, but you're not moderate if you're thinking that Mitch McConnell is your ideal political representative. No. Kevin McCarthy, Matt Gaetz, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Ron DeSantis, Josh Hawley, Gohmert, Jim Jordan. These are your ideal political representatives, then you're not moderate. You see that list of names and you go, yes, absolutely. That guy's fighting for the interests of the working class. Well, then you're not moderate because you're like pro-corruption, pro kind of political nonsense rhetoric in order to create legislation that benefits the wealthy and powerful. That is what that list of names does. That's what they do with their actual power, legislatively. And again, in order to stay in power, that's where the saying stuff, rhetoric, news interviews, Fox, where they got the camera and the Fox reporter lobs a question at them and then they say stuff, mostly bemoaning the Democrats or whatever. And then defending Trump. They have a little tougher time when they go on more, mainstream news outlets and they're not asked to softball questions. A lot of times they just go running for the hills, running for the elevator to avoid tough questions. That's their job, to answer questions, fast on behalf of the people. They're not just representing MAGA, but that's what they think they have to do. Preach to MAGA, get them nodding along and gleeful by the stuff that you say to them behind the scenes, but not really behind the scenes. That is the scene, the actual scene. It's the boring scene because it's on C-SPAN, where you actually are approving certain laws and voting at the actual vote. That's where you fuck over the very people that you are preaching to. Yeah, that's where you deny healthcare as a right. That's where you cut funding to Social Security. A couple hours earlier, you were mucking it up with a bunch of old folks, early morning diner, all, people in their 70s and 80s and stuff, mucking it up, bemoaning socialism and all this kind of stuff. Every single person in the early morning diner there gets Social Security. That very Republican candidate will then, in actual law, cut funding, vote to cut funding to Social Security. It's a certain kind of It just it's become like more transparent in the Trump era. That is like the, I guess what you could say about the benefit, if you if that's the right word, in the Trump era, is that it just exposed the blatant Republic hypocrisy of the upper levels of Republican leadership, the willingness to just kind of do and say anything to just retain power, and that's purely and solely what they're focused on. They could give two shits about creating laws that actually benefit people, regular people. That is the last of their concern. But there's enough folks that watch a particular channel and get information from particular media sources that, because they do that, those folks have become susceptible to propaganda and thus manipulation. Yeah. Those political candidates and pundits can tell people stuff in just pure rhetoric. They can say things and then create laws that directly fuck over those very people. So it goes. You know, what are you gonna do? You know, it is what it is, type of thing. You know, modern day Republican Party, and that's the key thing to remember, because you know, a lot of like Republican lifelong stalwarts voters will confuse that it's. You know, I had my sort of issues with Republican Party in the past, but this is different. You know, it's more political debate. This isn't really, this is about an organization gone awry that's lost any sort of ethical or moral center anymore. It doesn't really have any political ideology. Attacking the Republican Party, the organization, is not even really politics anymore. It's about kind of a judgment of an organization from a business sense, if you will, too. That business picked Donald John Trump to be its CEO. What kind of publicly traded corporation would pick Donald John Trump to be its CEO? He was always the head of a private corporation, a private company. What sort of publicly traded company would pick Donald John Trump to be its CEO or CFO? I would be extremely suspect of a company if they picked him to be their CEO, a publicly traded one. You know, if I had ownership, I would sell it off immediately. But of course, I don't have ownership in anything. I'm just a regular person. Had some smaller ownership stakes a while back, but those were sold off long ago just to get through a few months without work. It is spring. The indictment has happened. May spring bring forth new change and opportunity, and as well as the dissipation of the Trumpism more quickly, a more embracing of basic ideas of curing the sick and feeding the hungry type thing in this country. So, curing the sick would mean, we have hospitals in this country that are staffed with medical professionals that will take care of humans when they get sick. So that's what public health care would be. We would make sure that that exists. There's lots of hospitals in this country with medical staff. We'd want to make sure that, yeah, we are funding those places and funding the staff to work those places and to help heal humans when they get sick. Yeah, we should definitely be doing that in this country. That'd be a good thing. There's also schools in this country, a lot of them that could use additional funding, a lot of that are already getting funding. We should just continue that, but make sure it's just, you know, again, more direct. So if you're finished with high school and you want to keep going, then keep going. Yeah. Why does GDP need to constantly grow? Why indeed? Yeah. If only a certain percentage of the populace is getting most of the growth, well, maybe we just need to reallocate how the growth is happening. Maybe we do need to kind of adjust a little bit, get some new ideas, some fresh blood. I think a good way to do that is to make sure more of the working class is healthy and educated, because we need to come up with a different flow for our economy. This current way of a tiny percentage owning almost everything, or a vast majority control, even though they're a tiny percentage of the populace, doesn't seem very democratic in true choice, you know. And it's a false sense of savings or something, because you pay it on the back end, inflating costs and certain other things. So I'm hoping for better options, and just going to start doing the more basic stuff soon, as well as finally moving on from fucking Trump, God willing. Make sure you're registered to vote. Stay safe out there. God bless. This is Gary, thinking out loud.